with us gathering together like this. I know we missed last Sunday and it felt a little strange. I know that a lot of people had things going. And even as we gather, there's, of course, a bit of definitely some sadness and also reverence, I think, of in the passing of Norma. Something about God coming down. There's a closeness in death, I think, in some ways, if we have a relationship with God. Because it is our death as our passage to be in the presence of God. The Bible says that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so for Norma, it's like, hallelujah, right? There is no more foggy days like this. Because I think sometimes the weather today represents how we feel at times. And so, just briefly, as I think of us entering a new year, there's a clean slate, right? It's like we could really fear about what's going to happen this year. And panic and have anxiety. But if we do stand on the promises of God, we will make it one way or the other. Like was shared, if we'd have known what was happening in 2022 ahead of time, we'd have probably we couldn't handle it. And so God keeps those things from us. And he wants us to trust in him. I know there's several of us that lost parents. My dad died in January of last year. And he lived a full life, 93 years old. And yet, I miss him because of relationships. And I think in some ways when God built us, created us, we were not created to die. And I think that's why it's so painful when we die, when people die, is like that is not God's first design for man. We live on forever, and yet those who pass on we miss, definitely, because of relationships. So we begin a new year, and like was shared, we often find ourselves reflecting on the past and anticipating the future. That's what I've entitled the message, and reflecting on the past and anticipating the future. And I think the way we reflect on the past really has a huge part in how we look at the future. We can have ever such a messy past, but because of God's faithfulness, because of God's goodness, we have a hope. And I thought of the verse in as someone was sharing, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I think it's first. It's in Colossians 1, verse 27, just mentions that. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I hope that's for all of us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We think of making resolutions, maybe. I don't know. I want to do better. But as Merv said, it's Christ in you. That's how it's going to happen. I can do all the, I can try everything, but I'm going to be on the treadmill every day this year. And usually by February, those things have faded. But it's like, if God works within us and it comes from the inside out, that's when things can happen. God can shape us and mold us. We are going to disappoint ourselves. We are going to be, but God is faithful. Jeremiah 3, 21 to 23 says this, "But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And we sang that this morning. For the sake of time, I'd like to refer to Ephesians 1, 1 to 14. And I'm going to just read sections at a time and just kind of look at this chapter. And it kind of deals with the past, the present, and the future. In verses 4 and 5, we think of our past. As we reflect on the past, one of the things that we do sometimes is that we clean house. We throw out old stuff. And there's, of course, some things that we retain, right? We don't throw out everything. We don't. Every year we start out with new furniture and new clothes or whatever. I don't know, some people may do that, but we keep the old, or we keep the good things. And I think that's the thing that we're looking at here in verses 4 to 5 in Ephesians 1. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world, the past, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. That's something you want to reflect on as the past that is awesome and great. The thing that happened to you, if you are in Christ, you are sons and daughters through Jesus Christ. So what does the story counterbalance of the story of love, grace, and belonging that says evil and misery will not win? Things are not what they seem. And there are times in life when we think evil and misery is going to win. But if you trust in that foundational thing, number one is the Word of God is true. I shared this with our instruction class 2 weeks ago. The Word of God is true. If you have doubts, if you struggle with assurance, if you struggle with even your identity, the Word of God is true. It remains true. Never fails. Trust it. Trust it. Treasure it. And rest in it. So then we move on to 7 and 9. It says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose. So God's persistent love through the ages, and that's something we can testify of, God's persistent love through the ages, even though we've experienced loss and pain and even had health issues like Fern was mentioning. It's like God is faithful. And so sometimes, even as a pastor, I don't know if you all struggle with this or not, but we struggle with the whole idea of, well, you all know this already. What's the point of retelling it? But there's something about us retelling it, and it cements in our mind the truth of what is real. Forgiveness maybe seems remote to people. Maybe some people think their sins are not a big deal, or that forgiveness is too good to be true. In either way, it's like Jesus is marginalized, and we cheapen the fact that he died, his blood cleanses us from all sin. So thankfulness for us on our part is imperative. It's imperative that we thank God for that. And like Gloria said, amazed. I think it's okay to be amazed. It's okay. We should never lose the awe. We should never lose the awe of our salvation. We should be excited about it, realizing that God, who began a good work in me, will finish it. And the word lavish there is just, I don't know, when you lavish something, you just pour it on, right? Lavish grace, that is the center of our present story. That's what's happening now. God is lavishing grace on us. And we have a choice. We can either receive it and accept it, embrace it, and recognize it, or we can we can have a negative attitude of God, where are you? Why aren't you helping me? What's going on? Where are you? And we know that in Psalm 77, if you're familiar with that psalm, where Asaph talks about all this pain, and it's like, God, what happened to you? And I'll refer to, I'm going to end with a verse in verses 11 and 12 then later. So the future, God has a plan. In verses 9 to 14, a plan has been set forth in Jesus Christ, a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him, when you believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. And what an awesome, awesome future to know that we have been sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. We look forward to the day of our full redemption, right? Our full salvation. And we think that to some degree, definitely, Norma has experienced that when she passed from this life to the next, that part. And yet here as we are on earth, we experience it. God's plan, definitely his plan, is to restore us to that original plan that he had when he created Adam and Eve. Everything will be made right. And when we come to Jesus, life is suddenly jammed with purpose. Christ in us gives us purpose. And even as Katie shared, that purpose, that is an amazing story. And that is the excitement of us being here on earth. The most important decision that we can make is our acceptance of Jesus Christ as our Savior. And he will guide us if we allow him to. He will guide us. He will keep us. Hope knows that our rescuer is committed to our good. Hope knows the love of Jesus and grows in confidence that all promises God makes have already been yes in Jesus. And in 1 Thessalonians 1:3, your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus. So we think of endurance, we think of perseverance is a key to our life well lived. And I think of being faithful. I think of even for people who have lived, who have been young longer, their faithfulness is a key witness to the younger generation. It is. It's your faithfulness is a huge thing. And I just bless you for that. And God bless you as you continue in your faithfulness. Psalm 77, as I said before, 11 and 12 says, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. And if you think about where this is placed after all the anxiety and trouble and whatever in Psalm 77, read that to get the gist of what he came to the conclusion is, and that's, I hope, where we are at, is that we ponder all the work of God and meditate on his mighty deeds. I'd like to close with this. 1 Peter 1, in verse 2. May God give you more and more grace and peace. This is New Living Translation. As you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need to live a godly life. We have received all this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escapes the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly love, brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus. So, the brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things, and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When we hear those words, well done. And I think that's my encouragement to you this morning is be faithful. It's a new year. I could say, well, don't mess it up. But you know what? We're going to mess up. But thank God for His grace. Thank God for His compassion for us and for His love for us. He will continue to guide us and He will continue to lift us and to shape us and mold us. Romans 15:13, this is my prayer for you. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in Him. Then you will overflow with constant, confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that is so important. Our hope is based on the confidence comes from the Holy Spirit, not the confidence in my own goodness and my own strength, my own good looks, or whatever it is. It's the confidence from within, from the Holy Spirit, that God so richly pours out on us. May we embrace this new year. May we anticipate what God is going to do this year. And I think we'll just close with that. We'll close with a word of prayer. And let's remember to pray for each other. There are things that maybe we need to look at. What are things that are robbing me of my time with God that affects my peace with God? Those are things that we need to check. I think it's good to take inventory. But never forget the power of resting and having a close relationship with Jesus. That is the recipe. That is the answer. Jesus Christ is the answer as you go through this year. Whatever God, whatever we face, we don't know. But we trust Him that He will lead us, He will guide us. Let's just stand and we'll have a closing prayer. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for your day of another day of grace, another beginning of a new year. And we rest in knowing that you are God, you are holy, you are sovereign, you are just, you are righteous, and you fail not. Thank you for your mercies and your grace and your love that you have so lavishly and richly poured out upon us. I pray that you would help us to realize the riches that we have even as a Christian body as we go throughout this year, as we care for each other, and as we realize the pain that people experience. May we be able to be an encouragement. May we be the light. And I pray for especially the Elmer Miller family this morning. I pray that you would just pour out your love on them, that they would just sense your amazing presence during this time and comfort them. Also, I pray for Katie. As she continues to serve you, may her faith grow and may the light that she shines bring forth fruit in the ministry that she's involved in. I pray for Fern as she continues her journey. I pray for healing in her life and for everyone here today that is struggling with things. God, we just commit each one to you. May we walk with you and allow you to hold our hand as we take each step by step. Be with us, guide us, protect us, and bless us. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You're dismissed.